Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Meeting, Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. We will start today by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 217. Dave.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, Senate Bill 217 permits urban renewal plans to include construction and reconstruction of public schools. It allows a large metropolitan urban renewal plan to add non-contiguous lands to its urban renewal area under certain conditions. Takes effect on the 91st day following the adjournment sine die.
Okay, we have Senator Monroe here prepared to talk on this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to be back in the Revenue Committee.
Gee, yes, we miss you.
We miss you too. I served on Revenue for, I think, 5 different terms. You have my written statement. In 1990, the citizens of Oregon passed Measure 5. We all know about that. We all remember it. Those that are of us that are old enough, right, Frank? This has...
When were you born, Senator?
Yeah, before you. This has led to a reasonable equalization in school funding across the state for operation purposes. However, it has not equalized capital needs as the property value per student varies significantly from district to district. And it's much easier to pass a bond measure to pay for new facilities or improvements when the property values in the community are high, such as in Portland School District Number 1. When the property values are low, the burden of increased property taxes on an individual homeowner is much higher, making it much more difficult to pass a bond. The David Douglas School District is the second poorest district in the state in terms of property value per student. David Douglas is entirely in the city of Portland, but does not share the wealth of inner Portland. Senate Bill 217, which, by the way, was initiated by Portland City Council people, and I picked up on the idea a few years ago, and we've been kind of working on it ever since. It allows the City Council, does not mandate, permits the City Council to divert a small amount of urban renewal dollars from inner Portland to build an elementary school and community center on land already owned by the David Douglas School District. Currently, the biggest urban renewal district in value in the state is the Portland Waterfront Urban Renewal District. We are not asking that it be expanded or that additional urban renewal dollars be created. We are only asking that the City of Portland be permitted, if they wish, to divert from the hundreds of millions of dollars, about $10 million, to build a school community center. Portland School District Number 1 has seen a consistent drop in students as gentrification has taken place in inner Portland, and that has pushed many low-income people out to the east into the David Douglas school area, making David Douglas among the fastest-growing school districts in the state. Class sizes are large. Schools are bursting at the seams with students. They badly need funding for a new elementary school on the land that they own. This bill is permissive in nature, does not require the City Council to do anything, simply states that this diversion of funds would be legal if they see fit to do so. Now, I've been working on this bill for quite a while. It's already passed out of one committee unanimously, and I had a meeting with John Phillips of the Revenue Department and Mr. Back and Alan Dale of Legislative Council, I guess it was yesterday, wasn't it? In which, after significant discussions, they recommended the Amendment A2, which essentially deletes Section 6 of the measure and also makes a small technical correction. There was a typographical error on another line. That's what we have here. I got to tell you that I am absolutely flabbergasted that Portland School District number one would oppose this measure. They're supposed to be pro-education. They're playing dog in the manger. They don't want any other school district, even a poverty-stricken school district like David Douglas, to get any money. In the past, they have, through bad mismanagement, they have really had to require from time to time the city council to bail them out. Several times in our history, when Vera Katz was mayor, for example, Portland School District number one was bailed out by the city of Portland. We're not asking for a bailout here. We're asking for the city of Portland, to have permission to use a little bit, maybe up to $10 million out of the hundreds of millions from this urban renewal district for this specific purpose. Urban renewal is supposed to help blighted areas. Isn't it interesting that the most blighted part of the city of Portland happens to be in the East County area, and the richest part is where the urban renewal district is along the waterfront, hundreds of millions of dollars. Anyway, that's what this is about. I've been working on it for many years, and it does have the support of the mayor and at least some of the city council people who would, of course, have to implement it if it ever took effect. I'd be happy to respond to questions. And did I tell you that I'm State Senator Rod Monroe, District 24?
Did I actually let you get by with
that?
I
think so.
That's a first for me. I'm usually very adamant on that. Senator Monroe, there's nobody signed up today in favor of this. Is there a reason why nobody from David Douglas or nobody from Portland is here?
Well, they came to the other committee, mm-hmm. and I told them I didn't think they needed to make the trip down here again, that I could present the bill, but it is strongly supported by, of course, the entire David Douglas community, the superintendent, and the school board, and it is supported by the mayor of the city of Portland and at least some of the city council people.
Okay. And we'll
there was a letter in the packet to the other committee. Mark, weren't you on the other committee that heard this? Maybe not. Anyway, there was a letter from the mayor's office that came. If you need a copy of that, I can provide.
That would be great if you would provide that for our record, and we will try to track down that other record as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
My assistant will get you a copy of that letter within the next half hour.
Are there questions from the committee? All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Kate Porsche. Porsche.
That's me. And I'd like to invite up, I think, a couple other folks that you have on your list as well
that's
today.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Whoever
wants to come up and be on this panel, come on.
Wonderful. Thank you.
As long as there's enough chairs.
Thank you so much. And I'll start off. I'm Kate Porsche. I work for the City of Albany. I'm Urban Renewal Manager down there. And I also represent the Association of Oregon Redevelopment Agencies. That's AORA. We're a group of urban renewal organizations throughout the state. And I also am proud to say that I'm co-chair of the new Urban Renewal Oversight Committee. And some of you may be aware that's the new committee that was created through the legislation that passed 2 years ago through Senate Bill 3056, which brought together what previously had been sort of disparate groups of the taxing districts, the special districts, and urban renewal, and brought us together to work together in a collaborative fashion. So I'm co-chair of that group, too, and I come before you today representing those groups. I have before you already our official written testimony, so I want to be brief and hit a couple of key points related to this bill for you today. As you know, urban renewal is a really wonderful and special and unique economic development tool for our state. It has seen job creation, the revitalization of different areas, and it works to increase property tax revenues in different areas. We've seen that specifically in our great community of Albany, as Senator Morse is aware. We've seen our blighted downtown area work to be revitalized, and our vacant and blighted waterfront begin to be revitalized as well. Senate Bill 217 that's before you this afternoon, we feel and fear may harm urban renewal as a tool for the future. We understand that right now the bill as it's presented to you would only apply to the Portland area, but we still have concerns about that. I just want to hit four key points for you this afternoon. First of all, the idea behind it is that you would be allowing then the addition of certain non-contiguous lands to an urban renewal area. And the problem that we have with this is that one of the basic ideas of urban renewal is that you're creating a specific finite area that you've identified to be blighted, and you're using urban renewal as the tool to cure that blight for that specific area for a specific finite amount of time. So for us, the idea of adding in non-contiguous lands that aren't physically connected or connected to the projects of the urban renewal plan is really problematic. We strongly object to that concept, and we worry greatly about the precedents that this could set then for other communities in Oregon. The Dash 1 amendments that we were aware of up to this point do restrict the bill to Portland, but much of the bill would still affect urban renewal across the state. At this point, the bill imposes a 20-year limitation on the estimated date for completion of the projects. It would change the definition of blight. It also would change reporting requirements and would add a new type of project, which is school projects. Interestingly enough, schools are already allowed as an urban renewal project. Through statute. So, for example, one solution to this problem may be that rather than changing the state statute, if David Douglas and the City of Portland work together, if they wanted to create an urban renewal district in that blighted area, they could do so, and they could actually use that funding mechanism to create a school if it was for, again, a specific set of projects in a specific area. Finally, there are some technical issues that we see with this. I'm going to defer to people who know more about the specific tax issues, but we and attorneys that specialize in urban renewal have looked closely at this, and we've given thought to how the compression would be calculated, and we've concluded that at minimum it's very, very complicated, if not impossible. So there's some technical sort of tax assessor implications. And also we know from changes in the past, for example, when Measure 5 came online, that these sorts of changes to the mechanism of the calculations for the assessors are costly, they're time consumptive, and we are aware of sort of the burdens that our counties and assessors face at this point in terms of being limited on finance and time, and we worry about that. Finally, we do recognize that getting a school built in this economic climate is really challenging. We see that. But we feel strongly that the use of urban renewal and altering the urban renewal tool in this way is the wrong tool, the wrong way to accomplish Senator Monroe's goals. We fear that this bill could have far-reaching implications and could actually undermine this really dynamic and wonderful tool of urban renewal that is such a great economic development tool in our state. And with that, we respectfully request that Senate Bill 217 not move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll wait for the panel, and then we'll open it for questions.
Thank you. Senator Burnick, members of the committee, David Williams with Portland Public Schools. The cat's out of the bag. We're opposed to Senate Bill 217 and also respectfully ask that this bill not move any further. We do have very significant concerns with the public policy contained in this legislation. The notion of taking taxing authority, property taxing authority and revenue from inside one jurisdiction and transferring it to a wholly separate taxing jurisdiction, we think is a completely inappropriate use of those funds and a completely inappropriate public policy. We do believe that there are significant complications with Measure 5, even with potential amendments to remove Section 6, simply because we don't state that those funds are compressed under the school's portion of our tax limits doesn't mean that they are not, and certainly does not mean that the Supreme Court will not say that they should be compressed on our Measure 5 limits. And I think at best we're looking at significant litigation to see where those funds do apply. As you know, Measure 5, the only exempted funds outside of that are a capital bond levy that is voter approved, and this is certainly not one of those instances. I do want to address the question of equalization. I do take umbrage with the fact that Portland Public Schools may or may not support equalization. We are a big supporter of equalization. Portland Public Schools is the largest contributor of any school district in the state to funds to the state school fund. As an example, on the property tax base, I think it's well, on the income tax side, I think it's well known that the metro area is a tax exporting area. But on the property tax side, Portland Public Schools annually collects, in funds that are equalized inside the state school formula, about $170 million in property taxes. The number two largest district in the state, where we happen to reside right now, Salem-Keizer, collects about $70 million. The number three largest district, Beaverton, and those are both within a couple thousand kids of Portland, contributes $100 million. So the number two and three largest districts in the state combined contribute as much as Portland Public does to the state school fund. So the notion that we are not supporting and we are somehow looking for ways to hurt other districts, I think we would take offense to that implication. Equalization is a fact of life in education and education funding, and we're not here to look to unroll that in any respect. It does, of course, however, only apply to operations. It does not apply to capital construction. Up until now, wholly capital construction is the purview of local school districts. You do have a very, very small school capital construction fund that comes off the top of the state school fund, about $25 million that is distributed biannually. Now, of course, it's well known Portland Public Schools is asking its voters to support a $548 million bond, capital bond levy on this May election. And that certainly is significant. However, it is a small portion of the needs facing the district. It is one of the reasons that we continually advocate, and I advocated in my previous life with the Oregon School Boards Association, for a number of policy changes to state law to help deal with school capital construction. These go back to modifying the double majority requirement to give districts more elections at which they can put capital bond levies on the ballot and not be subject to the double majority requirement. The other was ballot measure 68, which expressly gives you as a state legislature the authority to issue capital bonds to pay for school construction. If it is the policy of the state of Oregon to choose David Douglas to build a school, you have very much other authorities at your disposal to do that, as does the city of Portland. Urban renewal was one mention where they could create an urban renewal district encompassing the area where they want to build the school and do so. The city of Portland, if they desired, could also use any number of other revenue streams available to them to build and provide a school for David Douglas School District. So this is not the only opportunity for them, and we think a very limited and inappropriate avenue for that. And that's the end of my talking points. I'm fairly sorry. I thought I had one more, but totally missed it. I hit the measure five stuff. I know I'm always wound up there.
You'll never be criticized for anything.
So, you know, we do think it's inappropriate. Portland Public Schools is asking you not to forward this bill and is here in opposition. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. I'm Nancy Bennett from Multnomah County, and we too are here today to express concerns about Senate Bill 217. We've had some conversation about this bill with our tax assessor, with our county management department board members, and I think that, you know, there's a recognition about the intent of this bill to address infrastructure needs in David Douglas and sympathy toward that, and Senator Monroe is a good friend of the county, but I think at the same time it's important that we put on the record a couple of our concerns with this bill. First, I think there's the question of the impact on our assessment department. It sounds like there may be some changes in that part of the bill, but we're very wary about anything that would place additional burdens and cost on our tax assessment function. The existing system with 5 and 50 is already so complicated, and anything new, you know, we feel like it's going to cost us money, time, and other things that take away from their core function. I think, secondly, our board has a more philosophical concern about using urban renewal for the sole purpose of school construction in the way that this seems to be constructed. And I think in general, you've seen our county board take a much more skeptical approach to urban renewal because it comes at the expense of dollars to public safety, health and human services, and many other things that we do. According to the most recent annual report from the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission, urban renewal now claims 9% of all property tax revenue in Multnomah County. So again, that means fewer dollars that we can spend on, you know, the core services that our public is demanding of us, and it's getting harder and harder to do that. So, you know, again, we just feel that all the other concerns that have been mentioned, you know, we too ask that you not move forward with this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Telford.
A quick question and a comment. I chaired the Bend Urban Renewal Agency for a number of years, of which they have three program areas. So I have some major concerns with this bill in that it may not be the right tool. My understanding that, you know, what we're trying to do is incremental tax increases based on economic development. My caution on doing it as a project area is that you're going to displace everybody that lives there right now, because at some point they will no longer be able to afford to live there. But not doing it as a project area and using urban renewal as the tool, if it's just a school, where's the incremental tax increase? Is there an incremental tax increase?
Not on public projects. I mean, that's right. Thing. If we, for example, in Albany, we don't have school as a project, but we do have some public projects like the improvement of a street. But they're part of a larger package that looks to eliminate blighting influences in that specific area.
Thank you.
So why would a street fulfill that criterion and not a school?
Well, it's not just the street that is a part of our urban renewal plan. It's street and private partnerships and things like that for a larger area. You know, so, for example, in Albany, we've identified that area, and we're looking to bring in private investment. And interestingly enough, I mean, I think perhaps to answer your question, and again, to take Albany as an example, if we had needed a school, if an absence of a school was part of the blighting issue for our area, a school could be and is allowed to be a project in an urban renewal plan. But it needs to be part of that larger cohesive package for the blighted area. And the area is identified, and you say, you know, we need a school, we need better streets, we need private money coming in. So it can be that. But, it's a finite, specific area that's identified. And that's, I think, the part that gives us heartburn, is that what's proposed here has no connection to the urban renewal area that's in Portland right now.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Genoa Ingram. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. I'm Genoa Ingram, appearing before you today on behalf of Clackamas Fire District 1. Clackamas Fire District 1 participated heavily in the passage of House Bill 3056 in the 2009 session, and at that time there was a memorandum of understanding that all of us signed, including me on behalf of one of my other clients and Clackamas 1. Indicating that, you know, we recognize this was a major overhaul of the urban renewal law, and at that time the memorandum of understanding stated that we would not support any additional legislation affecting urban renewal throughout the duration of the memorandum, which I believe goes to 2017. The exception to that was the City of Portland, which acknowledged that they could not oppose any urban renewal bills related to the David Douglas School District. I wanted to make it very clear that Clackamas Fire District 1 is pro-education. They support David Douglas. They very much support the efforts of Representative Schaffler and Senator Monroe. However, there are some concerns that I wanted to just convey to you, and I should probably say at this point, the executive officer for Clackamas Fire District 1 is Kyle Gorman, and he is a bit of a urban renewal wonk and represented them on the work group last session, or the 2009 session, and he is in Washington, D.C. today, and so that's why I drew the short straw and got to be here on this bill. But we talked yesterday, and there are several concerns apart from the fact that we did sign the agreement saying that we wouldn't support any additional tinkering with the urban renewal legislation. There's also the feeling that there are, as several people have stated before me, that there are already mechanisms in place to direct money to David Douglas for the building of schools. And as Kyle and I spoke yesterday evening, he said, you know, the area could be declared blighted under ORS 457-10. And that would include the condition of having inadequate buildings, and then TIF money could be used to fund the building of those schools. And additionally, the City of Portland could simply close or reduce in size a current urban renewal district within the city and then gift some or all of the incremental tax revenues to the school district. And a gift of the funds by the city to the school district has, or to a school district, has been done in the past, so it wouldn't be a new precedent. What does concern Kyle and Clackamas Fire District 1 is the precedent that would be set by the formation of these satellite urban renewal districts, and we're very concerned about that. So again, you know, we would ask that some of these other avenues be explored first before taking what we feel is a fairly radical approach to establishing these satellite urban renewal districts. And again, I don't claim to be the urban renewal wonk, but if there are questions, I will be in communication with Mr. Gorman and would be happy to get back to you.
When you communicate with Mr. Gorman, I would really like to encourage you to get him and Senator Monroe together and maybe discuss some of these options as a way. I mean, Senator Monroe is justifiably concerned about the situation with the school in the David Douglas district, and especially since, you know, because of urban renewal in Portland, there has been out-migration of lower-income people. So there are some real issues there. And if there are alternative ways to look at this, then it might be that Kyle is the one with the expertise to help maybe sort some of those things through.
Chair Burdick, I can tell you that I know that Kyle would look forward to helping to find a solution to this problem. And as soon as he's back from D.C., I will put him together with the senator, and hopefully they can come up with something that everyone can live with.
Great.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Tell me his last name again.
Gorman, G-O-R-M-A-N.
All right. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Is there anybody else here who wants to testify on this? Okay, thank you. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 217, and we will open a work session. I'm so bad on bill numbers. We will open a work session on Senate Bill 443. Welcome, Ms. Mazin, what's wrong with your chair? While Mazin is getting his chair adjusted, I will announce that we are not going to take any action today on Senate Bill 968. We're still working with that bill, so if anybody's here for that, you don't need to stay.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, Senate Bill 443 is another county issue. You've discussed this the same issue here back on the 2nd of March, and then you also looked at a different Senate bill that dealt with similar type of discussions. This is about allowing the counties, certain counties with the federal forest money, to use some of their funds for the policing of those areas or the roads within. And this Senate bill was at the beginning asking for a lifting of all the time restriction that was put on back in 2007, and the time restriction was to expire at 2014. However, with the discussion that ensued after, and with the chair, you asked for an amendment, for the committee amendment, for the bill to sunset on 2016. So that's what you have today in front of you, the -1 amendment that sunsets this measure and push the sunset 2 years ahead for the year 2016.
Okay, and committee, just to remind you, during the public hearing, we had unanimous support for this from their legislative delegation and also from the people in the counties themselves who are affected by this measure. We had some similar measures that didn't have that level of support, but this one we did. They have experience with it. and want to continue it for at least another 2 years. So that's what we have before us. Any questions of Mazen? Do you have a motion, Mr. Vice Chair?
I do, but just a comment. public policy that we set works best when it is consistent statewide. And I do have some concerns that a request that was made we're not taking action on. And I understand all the politics, and I don't understand all, but I recognize the problems within the county that has made the request. But I just want to point up that consistency of public policy is an important feature of what we do. And so with that, Madam Chair, I would move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 443 dated 3/31/11.
Senator Morris has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 443. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 443 as amended to the floor with a DuPass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved Senate Bill 443 as amended to the Senate floor with a DuPass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I think we might ask Senator Prozanski to carry this unless there's someone on the committee who would like to. Okay, we will ask him. If he declines, then I will carry this. Okay, that completes our agenda for today. We are meeting on Friday this week, except for our Honorable Senator Telfer, who will be out doing the people's work on
Tillamook. Hopefully no tsunami this time. Last time we were supposed to go, there was a tsunami.
I think the redistricting committee may be a jinx on the city of Tillamook, so we hope the jinx will be broken now. Okay, we are adjourned.